Magandang gabi po sa inyong lahat. Welcome to this gathering of Crossroads Church of Dubai. Ako po si Alvin Niton when I serve as one of the elders sa iglesyang ito. If you came here for the first time, welcome. We're encouraged to see new faces as well as regular faces. So if you came in and wala ho kayo neto or meron kayong hawak neto, ito po yung ating sermon card and this is yung first quarter or first 3 months na kung saan we prepare or we put together yung sermon series in order for you to prepare and read at para ma-anticipate nyo kung ano yung next passage or next sermon ang ipipreach. Also, sa back part ng mismo ng card na ito, makikita nyo rin yung mga classes na ongoing classes po dito sa ating church. Some of them are online, kagaya po ng new members class. If you are a new member ng church or just wanted to listen to good teaching about the basics of a new Christian, please do attend. It happens on every Tuesday night. Okay, and si Pastor Eric, yung nag-lead kanina, is the one leading itong group na to. And after the service, if you're not in a hurry, we would like to invite you. Extend itong invitation na ito sa ating class, which will be tackling yung Old Testament. So it's going to be a long 23-week series ng Old Testament. So if you are ready to go and understand kung ano ang itsura ng Old Testament and how this is related sa New Testament, we encourage you to stay. So it'll be around probably 45-minute class. So, okay? So after po yan, dito rin po yan. Sa ngayon, tayo po'y nagbabalik sa ating study series sa historical book na si Genesis. It's a short 5-week study that focuses on the patriarch Abram, which later on ang pangalan niya ay Abraham. In Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, we have learned that God created a perfect world. Kung saan nandun ang perfect couple na makikita natin, enjoying a perfect fellowship with a perfect God. But pagdating sa Genesis chapter 3, na-disrupt po yung perfection na to because sin came into the world. And lahat ng mga tao na lumabas sa unang tao are inclined to be sinful all the days of their lives. God judged the world through a worldwide flood and He spared a family, line ni Seth, ng pangalan ay si Noah, by securing them sa isang floating ark na gawa ho sa wood. After po nag-recede ang baha, a new generation came out, a new generation of rebels. And they were this time trying to save themselves by creating a very tall tower in order to reach heaven by themselves. Of course, God judged them for that, judged them by confusing itong languages nila. In Genesis chapter 12, we saw that God has called a man from the line of Seth. Ito po yung tinatawag na the seed of the woman sa Genesis chapter 3. He is the patriarch Abram. God called Abram from a godless nation and promised to give him descendants, promised to give him land, promised to make him a blessing to many nations. Nakita po natin na yung obedience niya sa Panginoon, yung faith niya ay na-exercise niya by obeying God's call. He went to a place na hindi niya alam and he started bringing everything na nasa kanya para wala na siyang babalikan sa kanyang hometown. But last week, there was a turn of events. The man who was called, na witness din natin that we have witnessed his fall. This man of faith, yung faith na ay nag-falter. So, we will walk by... So, tonight, ganun naman po titignan natin. We will see how this fallen man of faith will continue on God's call. Tignan natin kung paano siya magpapatuloy sa kanyang buhay and how he will respond to another trial that is before him. Will he walk by faith or will he walk by sight? Friends, maybe that's you tonight. Maybe that is your situation right now. You are in the middle of a situation, a decision-making perhaps, that yung faith mo is being challenged, trying to discern, trying to think, should I be walking by faith or should I walk by sight? Trusting God's promises is better than relying on temporal treasures. Trusting on God's promises is better than relying on temporal treasures or temporal things. This passage is divided into 3 points. Number one, a return to God, verses 1 to 4. Number two, a test on reliance, verses 5 to 13. And number three, a revelation that fueled worship, verses 14 to 18. Number one, a return. So Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the Negev. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Last week, iniwan natin si Abram na hindi maganda ang kalagayan. Abram, the friend of God, the father of faith, was tested through a famine and revealed a faithless, cowardice, and deceitful heart. Yun pong lumabas sa kanyang puso. Yun ang lumabas sa kanyang aksyon in the midst of a trial. His faith faltered and was rebuked by a godless king, which is si Pharaoh. Manilaw din na, manilaw na manilaw po dito na kung hindi sa grasya ng Panginoon, patay na dapat itong mamang ito kasama ang kanyang pamilya. Because no one messes with Pharaoh. But by the grace of God, hindi sila pinatay. At sa kabutihan lalo ng Panginoon, nung pinaalis sila, hindi rin binawi yung mga regalo na pinagkaloob sa kanila. Lahat ng mga kayamanan ang binigay kay Abram dahil akala siya yung kapatid ni Sarai. Which explains yung riches na tinatawag dito sa verse 2. Okay? Marami na siyang ari-arian even before na siya'y dumating sa Egypt, perhaps. Pero mas nadagdagan ito, mas yumaman ang mama na ito overnight. Pati ang kanyang pamangkin na si Lot ay naambunan ng gantong klaseng yaman. Remember yung promise, I will bless those who will bless you and I will curse those who curse you? Kita natin yan sa verse 5. Though umalis siya sa lugar na ito, full of riches, he felt empty and humiliated. He felt napalayo siya sa Panginoon. It's because he walked away from God's word. He turned away from God's promises. He walked by sight. So anong ginawa niya? Anong ginawa ng mamang ito? Let's read verse 3 to 4. And he journeyed on from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. Kung babasahin po natin yung verse 3 to 4, naalala po natin yung chapter 12, ano? Verse 8. Kung saan niya una tinayo ang kanyang tirahan o yung tent, na kung saan na yung altar na kanyang tinayo, where he worshiped God or where he called for the first time the name of the Lord. In short, binabalikan niya ang lugar where he first called upon God, where he first experienced yung presence ng Panginoon, where God's promises were affirming to him. Trying to recapture his previous experience of God. The only difference this time perhaps implying that the promises still stand to. Bumalik siya sa lugar na kung saan niya na-experience ang Panginoon, where he worshipped Him. Bumalik siya sa Panginoon pagkatapos niyang manglamig, pagkatapos siya magkamali, pagkatapos siya bumagsak sa kasalanan. Bumalik siya sa Panginoon. There's an element of repenting from sin and started to worship this true living God. Friends, the name of the place is Bethel. The Hebrew of Bethel is the house of God. So he returned to the house of God. Tama lang ginawa niya na he turned to the house of God where he first experienced and worshipped God. Mga kaibigan,
Ito rin ay isang paalaala po sa atin ngayong gabi na kapag dumating po ang panahon sa ating mga mananampalataya na tayo ay nagkamali, na tayo ay bumagsak sa kasalanan, o kaya na may napapalayo o nanlalamig tayo sa Panginoon, this is a reminder to us na dapat tayo bumalik sa Panginoon. Mga kaibigan, ano ba ang mga nagawa o kinalimutan nating gawin na nagpapalamig sa puso natin sa Panginoon? Ano ang dahilan kung bakit nagkakaroon tayo ng panlalamig sa Panginoon? Kung tayo po ay nanlalamig, huwag po tayong lumayo. Huwag po tayong lumayo sa Panginoon o manatili sa panlalamig. Minsan, I remember when I was a young Christian, meron kami mga barkadahan, ano? And napansin ko na matagal na siya hindi nakakasama sa church. So tinanong siya, bakit? Bakit ka na hindi umatan dyan? Backslider ako ngayon, pare. Oo, bakit? At saka na eh, kumbaga, sabi niya, nakaschedule ako, saka na ako babalik church, may date siya kung kailan siya babalik. So in short, schedule niya yung pagka-backslide niya. Eh hindi ho dapat ganoon. Minsan may mga tao na gusto manatili sa pagka-backslide. Gusto manatili sa panlalamig o sa pagrebelde sa Panginoon. And we have learned last night, hindi tayo pananatilihin ng Panginoon sa ganong klaseng kalagayan. If tayo may panlalamig, kung tayo po ay nagno-nurse ng kasalanan sa ating buhay, we have to repent. We have to turn away and ask forgiveness sa Panginoon. Bilang mga mananampalataya sa Panginoon, we can boldly come to God asking help and asking forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 hanggang 16. For we do not have a high priest, si Jesus ito, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence or boldness draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mga kapatid sa Panginoon, kung tayo po may panlalamig, bumalik tayo sa Panginoon. Bumalik tayo sa salita niya. Bumalik tayo sa panalangin. At huwag natin balikan ang kasalanan. Noong ako'y bata pa again sa pananampalataya, dumating ang panahon na nagkaroon din tayo ng panlalamig. And we fight that even as today, the present time. Ayoko pong magbasa ng Bible, ayoko pong makasama ang mga kapatiran, ayoko mag-pray. Ayoko rin umattend ng church. Nung nakausap ko isa sa mga kapatiran sa Panginoon, at kinamusta niya ako kung ano ang kalagayan, sinabi ko yung aking spiritual condition. Sabi ko, feeling ko, wag na muna siguro ako attend ng church kasi I don't feel like coming to church. At eto ang sinabi niya sa akin. Simple lang naman sinabi niya, pero hindi ko makalimutan. Sabi niya, the best time to come to church is the time that you don't want to come to church. Let me read that again. The best time to come to church is the time that you don't want to come to church. Dahil sa sinabi niya yun, pumunta nga ako sa church. Okay? I went to church, and through the ministry of the preaching of God's word and the encouragement of God's people, I came to an understanding that the Lord is drawing me back in fellowship with Him. Friends, when we sin, mga kapatid sa Panginoon, when we sin, yung fellowship natin sa Panginoon is nagkakaroon ng panlalamig. Sa mga walang pananampalataya sa Panginoon Hesukristo at nagpapatuloy sa kasalanan, ang galit ng Diyos ay nananatili sa inyo. Mga kapatid sa Panginoon, if tayo po ay napapalayo at nanlalamig sa Panginoon, let me say this in a different way. Do not disregard the gathering of the saints. Do not regard the gathering of God's people or the church. Ang church ay ang regular means of grace na ginagamit ng Panginoon to build up one another. This is where we pray God's word, where we in unison sing God's word, where we all hear God's word preached, where we listen to one another, encouraging one another, where we see the gospel through the ordinances of the Lord's Supper, which we will be observing next week, and baptism, which we will witness next month, so February 18th. Mga kapatid, after the service, here's my encouragement sa inyo. Look for people you can encourage with the word. Do not be quick to go. Do not be quick to be dismissive. If someone's trying to engage nyo, wag nyo namang hindi tignan o kausapin. Reach out to them. Reach out to them, and let us be intentional with this. Reach out to married couples. Reach out to single people. Reach out to university students. Reach out to young people. Reach out to parents. Reach out to widows and singles. We have no idea what hardships or struggles they have faced this week. We have no idea kung anong pinagdaanan nila today. And they are here, trusting in the Lord, walking in faith, in hopes to be edified by God's word and to give Him glory that He deserves in the midst ng kanyang kalagayan. Alam ko po na karamihan sa atin ay may ganitong klaseng storya, no? Na kung saan ginamit ang Panginoon ang corporate worship, na kung saan nanumbalik ang apoy ng papuri natin sa Panginoon. Ganun ang Panginoon eh. He prepares our heart. Through God's word and through God's people, He prepares His people to worship Him. He puts Him on the right track. And in prepare niya for another testing. Well, ganun ang ginawa niya kay Abram dito. After God ministered to him, God now was preparing for another test. Number two, a test. Anong klase? Nung una, ano eh? Famine eh. Ngayon, a test of reliance or dependence. Let's read verse 5 hanggang 7. And Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, so that the Lord could not support both of them dwelling together. For their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's flock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time, Canaanites and Perizzites were dwelling in the land. Ang material wealth and blessing na pinagkaloob ng Diyos kay Abram, ang siya ding ang ginamit para subukin siya. Abram and Lot became extremely wealthy. Limpak-limpak ang kanilang ginto at saka pilak. Naging libo-libo ang kanilang alagang hayop. Dumadami din ang kanilang mga tauhan o pastol dahil sa marami nga ang kanilang inaalagaan. Dahil sa dami ng mga ito, lumiit ang lupain para sa dalawang pamilyang ito. Dito nagkaroon ng alitan ang mga tauhan ni Abram at saka yung tauhan mismo ni Lot. Hindi kasi sapat ang damo at ang lugar na pinagpepwestoan ng mga inaalagaan nilang hayop. Kaya nag-uunahan at nag-aaway ang mga tauhan niya sa kung saan pwedeng pakainin at painumin. Bukod sa hindi na sila masustain ng lupa, nandoon din ang mga kalaban nilang lahi, ang mga Canaanites at saka mga Perizzites, na kung saan mga unang settlers sa lupain na ito. At ginagamit din nilang lupain para pakainin ang kanilang mga halagang hayop. So mas naging pahirapan tuloy ngayon kung saan nila dadalhin ang kanilang mga alaga. So ang ginagawa ng dalawang grupo, ang mga tauhan ni Abram at tauhan ni Lot, pag nakikita nila yung mga Perizzites at Canaanites, iiwas sila. At dahil doon, minsan nagkakasalubong pa sila sa isang batis. Kami na una rito, hindi kami na una. Ayun na, aaway na. At kapag hindi po siyempre naalagaan ito, eh hindi po magaganda ang kanilang negosyo, hindi po mapapakain ng tama ang kanilang mga alaga. So this is really a huge concern. Nagkakaroon na ng gulo. At nakarating na itong away na ito sa kanilang mga amo. Nakarating na ito kay Abram at saka kay Lot. So ano namang naging desisyon ni Abram dito? Tingnan natin verse 8 to 9. Then Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left. This is clearly a test kay Abraham, yung situation na ito. Siya ba ay, will he walk by faith or will he walk by sight? A test if he will to trust God or trust his instincts. Will he trust God or will he be on survival mode? Will he rely on his wealth, authority, and resources, or will he rest on God's promises? So ano ginawa ni Abraham? So he did, how did he resolve this? Tingnan po natin ulit yung verse 8. Sa CSB version, ang sinabi po dito, please, let's not have quarreling between you and me. Yan ang pagkakasabi. Tapos binigyan niya ng reason kung bakit hindi dapat sila mag-away. Since we are relatives. Christian Standard Bible Version. Sinabi niya, huwag na tayo mag-away. Para namang tayong hindi magkamag-anak niya. Parang hindi tayo kadugo. O sige, sama ko. Sige, doon ka. Sige, dito ako. Total, huwag na tayo mag-away. Para yun lang naman eh. Parang hindi naman tayo pamilya niyan. Mga kaibigan, alam ko po na familiar sa atin yung ganong klaseng litanya, no? Alam ko po na may mga kakilala o karanasan tayo sa Pilipinas nang dahil sa hatian o partihan sa lupa ay nagkakaaway-away ang mga kamag-anak. Lagi ho yun ang sitwasyon, kadalasan. Di kaya't ang dahilan nito ay dahil sa kasakiman? Maaring hindi ko pakaparehas ang sitwasyon ni Abraham o sa kalagayan ng kakilala nyo, pero di kaya kinakailangan ng mas malalim na pagsisiyasat sa ating puso at pagbubuhay sa, bubulay sa salita ng Diyos upang makita natin ang pinag-uugatan ng mga ganitong klaseng away? Are we walking by faith or are we walking by sight? Are we trusting on God's promises or are we trusting on worldly wealth? Pero sa case ni Abraham, mas minaigi na niyang magparaya. Okay? Pinapili niya ang kanyang kamag-anak, ang kanyang pamangkin, kung anong gusto niyang lupain. Gugusto niya sa kanan, doon siya sa kaliwa. Kapag pupunta siya sa kaliwa, doon naman iika siya sa kanan. Kung ano na pag-usap, kung anong napupusuan mong lupa, sige, kunin mo. Kung anong matira-tira sa akin yun. Yun ang sinabi niya. Yun ang sitwasyon po dito. Sa panahon at kaugalian nung time na yon, kadalasan po ang mas nakakatanda dapat ang unang nakakapili. Ang mas nakakatandaan dapat ang siyang nasusunod. O, ako matanda rito, ha? Ako magdidesisyon. At syempre, kung ano yung matitira, yun sa mga nakakabata. Pero hindi po ito ang kanyang ginawa. Pero bakit ganito ang naging kanyang desisyon? Well, because not only does Abraham value family, but because he was walking by faith and not by sight. He is resting on God's promises and not on temporary riches. He knows the promise na ibinigay ng Panginoon ang buong Canaan sa kanya. Alam naman niya na sa kanya lahat yun eh. I'll be trusting the Lord. Kahit hindi ko pa nakikita ko alin na sa akin dito, basta ito sinabi ng Panginoon eh. I will trust your word, Lord. Kapatid, hindi dapat tayo nag-aaway sa mga material na bagay. Kunin mo kung ano yung gusto mo. Alam mo, tama ang puso ng mamang ito. Alam mo, kung hindi siya nanumbalik sa Panginoon, iba siguro ang kanyang trato ngayon. Kapatid, kung malayo ang puso natin sa Panginoon, tapos haharap tayo sa mga suliranin ng buhay, hindi po magiging ganito itsura ng ating ang response. So ito, sitwasyon na ito, hinanda na ng Panginoon itong mamang ito. Malaki ito eh, pangkabuhay ng pinag-uusapan natin dito. Malaki ang talo ko sa negosyo. Bibigay ko siguro na, ano kaya response ni Sarah, yung asawa niya? Minsan, di ba, alam natin mga kalalaki yan, minsan tayo pag nagdi-decision, mabilis. Basta kalimutan natin, kailangan pala natin inform ang ating mga asawa sa mga decision making na yon. Could you imagine nung sinabi niya ka Sarah ito? Di ba? Ano sabi mo? Sa mo siya yun ang pinigay mo? Eh, tagal ko nang kinikwenta, magkano isipin mo na lang yung mga tauhan niya na nakikipag-away sa kabila. Ang insulto na aabutin niya sa mga tao ni Lot. Okay? But this is a good call. I'm not saying it was a bad call. It was a good call. He's trusting the Lord. He's leading his family. He's giving an example sa kanyang tauhan that I am a man of faith. I'm a man who walks by faith and not by sight. Pero kung hindi siya hinanda ng Panginoon, kapatid, may mga problema na darating sa buhay mo kasama ng problema mo ngayon. Kung hindi ka manunumbalik sa Panginoon, I go to point number one, balik ka sa Panginoon. Huwag mo nang patagalin yan. Mas pinili ni Lot ang mas magandang lupain. It was green, fertile, well-watered. Lot says, I'm taking all of the side of the Jordan Valley. Kung mapapansin mo, nandun all. Hindi man niya tinirahan ang kanyang uncle. Ano ba naman, hatian niya ng kaunti lamang. O bigyan niya ng schedule. Kasi uncle, ha, total, naging generous kayo sa akin. Siguro by Monday, bigay ko yung buong araw sa inyo. Wala eh, all. Yan. Akin lahat yan. Yun ang kanya sinabi. Why? Bakit yun ang naging decision ni Lot? Because he is walking by sight. He is trusting in the riches of this world. He wants to go where he can get richer. Alalahanin nyo, mayaman na itong mamang ito, pero hindi pa sapat yung kayamanan niya. Gusto pa niya ng mas managahangad pa ng mas marami. Dahil sa kasakiman niya, entrusted more on what he sees that can provide him security, ease for his family, for generations, he occupied the eastern boundary ng Canaan. Na kung saan matatagpuan yung Jordan River, which means hindi na mauuhaw ang kanilang mga tupa, yung kanilang mga pananim is magkakaroon ng instant access sa tubig, hanggang, ito pa ang malupit dito, sa sobrang kasakiman, pati yung boundary na wala na sa promised land, pinasok na niya. Ang pangalan ng lugar na yon is Sodom. Which is, may binanggit dito sa verse na ito, sa passage natin, na punong-puno ng kasamaan, immoralidad. John Calvin, Lot fancied o pinagpantasyahan himself to be in paradise, but he was plunged in the depths of hell. Lot started well when he was walking with Abram. Pero nung nakita niya may oportunidad na mas lumago ang kanyang negosyo, ang pumasok sa isipan niya ay business is business. Pensa na, walang kamakamag-anak, negosyo-negosyo lang. Inuna niya ang financial interest at pinaisang tabi niya ang promises ng Panginoon. Sabi sa verse 10, Lot lifted his eyes. Na-reveal kagad kung ano ang nasa heart niya. At ang description pa niya is like the garden of the Lord. When he said that, what he really means is it's like the garden of Eden. Walang tuyot, mataba, maganda. He is clearly trying to get back to a place of ultimate significance. Hindi lang po pera ang issue dito. There is an adulterous heart brewing inside of him. It's not just about the property or the money. It's about significance. Lot was already wealthy. He wants more. Pero he knows na hindi siya satisfied. Friends, hindi ba ito din ang problema natin sa ating mga sarili? We want to feel important. We want to be valued. We want people to think highly of us. We want people to look up to us. We want people to need us. Could it be na ito ang reason why you kept on living and working in Dubai? Kahit alam mo it's time na to go home? Young people, could this be the reason why you want to keep hanging out with friends that you know are no good influence sa life mo? You feel important or cool? Or maybe could this be the reason why you try to keep up with the latest trends, latest fashion and tech? Friends, could this be the reason why we try to pursue more and more things in life? More career growth, more education, more physical enhancements, more muscles, less fats, more diet, more food, more achievements, more likes, followers, and views in social media. Could it be that we seek significance on the temporal things of this world? You want everything that you see, believing that this will provide significance, comfort, security, popularity, stability for a long time. And you care less. Mapahamak ang kaluluwa mo. You care less. Mapahamak ang kaluluwa ng pamilya mo. You care less. Mapahamak ang kaluluwa ng mga tao na malapit sa buhay mo. Pinili nila ang lupain kasama ang Sin City ng panahon nila, na kung saan later on, sa few chapters, napupuksain ng Panginoon, Sodom. Which led, dahil sa decision ni Lot na ito, bagamat mukhang beneficial, led to a devastating series of consequences sa kanyang buhay at sa kanyang pamilya. Maaring may comfort sa decision making mo as a family man or as a husband and wife. Maaring you're looking after yung kinabukasan ng mga anak. But you have to compare this sa salita ng Diyos. And in this, what seems to be a promised land, may sinasabi ba ang Panginoon na promise patungkol dito? Or warning? If friends, are you like Lot? Are you pursuing the garden of the Lord without the presence of the Lord? Ecclesiastes, if you are, then you are chasing after the wind. Let's take yung wisdom ng pinakamayaman at pinakamatalinong mama sa Bible, Solomon. Ecclesiastes 1:14. I have seen everything that is done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. Friends, if you're relying on temporal fleeting riches, you will be disappointed. Kasi it can never satisfy you. Abram trusted God's promises. That is why it was easy for him to let go of earthly treasures. He chose to live by faith and worship God. Number three and last. We start with worship and then we end with worship. Verse 14 to 18. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offsprings forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring can also be counted. Arise, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I will give it to you. So Abram moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Kinausap uli siya ng Panginoon. Kinausap siya ng Panginoon after nang nagkahiwalay sila ni Lot. Pinapaalala ng Panginoon ang pangako niya sa kanya. Think about it. If you're a man, kung totoong tao si Abraham, at pinakawalan niya yung ganon, hindi kaya naisip din niya na parang, ba't ko ba gagawa yun? Malaki-laki rin yun ang bitawang kong yun. Ha? Kung totoong maman to, magta-struggle siya ron. And here's God's kindness sa kanya. His faith was rewarded with an encouragement of God's word. Sa gitna ng Bethel at Ai, may magandang spot marahil na kung saan nakikita niya yung panoramic view ng Promised Land. At inulit ng Panginoon ang pangako na ito in a little bit more detail sa kanya. He promised him a land and prosperity. Remember, si Abraham ay walang pagmamayali na lupain. And second, wala rin po siyang anak. So paano kagad ang itatanong mo dyan? Paano siya magkakaroon ng malaking lahi? Paano siya magkakaroon ng malaking property? By reiterating this to Abram, God demands that he would trust him more, put his faith in him despite lack of evidence. As we continue to study yung life ni Abram dito sa Genesis, makikita natin na paulit-ulit din ho siya magkakamali. Maulit-ulit siya magkakasala, and yet God faithfully keeps His promises. Bakit? Bakit ganun ang Panginoon? Because there is another man that this passage points to. The promised seed of the woman sa Genesis chapter 3 is the promised son na kung saan makikita natin after a few centuries ng storya na ito. This man also walked the earth. He was brought on the mountaintop and was tempted. He was shown all these massive fertile kingdoms and lands, and it's all of his glorious setup, and promised to give everything sa kanya if this man, Jesus, bows down to him, Satan. He is saying, Jesus, I can give you all these wealth without suffering. You do not need to go to the cross. But Jesus rejected the offer and chose to suffer. Abram left his wealth in Haran so that he could have a relationship with God. Jesus left his ultimate wealth so that we could have a relationship with God. Sabi sa 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you by His poverty might become rich." Jesus Christ lived the perfect life, the obedient life, obedient to the Father, sinless, tempted, yet without sin. And yet He is the perfect sacrifice to die on the cross para sa mga kasalanan mo at sa kasalanan ko. On that cross, He was hanging on that tree, receiving the full wrath, galit, parusa ng Panginoon in our place. He died, and on the third day has risen from the grave. This is the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Abram's imperfection is makikita talaga na hindi niya kaya iligtas ang kanyang sarili kahit siya ay man of faith. But Jesus' perfection, the God-man, is the only way para tayo maligtas. Sabi ni Derek Kidner, tent and altar characterized Abram's way of life. Ang tawag sa kanya ay nomad. Wala siyang tirahan, kung saan siya napupunta. Okay? Bakit siya pinili maging nomad samantalang may property naman siya dati? Kasi ang Diyos ang kanyang permanent na refuge. Kaya kahit saan siya magpunta, the worship of the Lord and the calling on the name of the Lord ay yung central ng kanyang buhay. Worship and calling to the Lord is central sa kanyang life. God's word is food to his soul. Kasi yun lang ang pinangahawakan niya eh. Yun lang ang pinapaalala niya sa time na kung saan nag-aaway sila mag-asawa. Bakit mo kami dinala rito? Of course, hindi natin nakita dito yan. Pero kung totoong tao si Sarah, imposibleng hindi gumuhit sa isip niya yun. Natawa nga nung sinabing mabubuntis siya eh. Every time there's a scratch, eto lang. The promise of God, the promises of God, God's word is the very source that fuels his worship, the very source that gives him hope in a hopeless situation, that gives him joy in a joyless setting. Friends, that should mark the Christian life. As Christians, this should mark yung buhay natin when facing different challenges. Let God's word and promises fuel our worship, fuel how we live for Him, for His glory. Ganda, Panginoon. Pastor, okay yan. Pero hindi madali yan. Opo, alam po natin na hindi madali yan. Maaring na ito kanina lang sa work. Yung work situation, yung marahil. na kung saan yung situation nyo, itinuturuan kayo magsinungaling sa trabaho, maggumawa ng mga illegal na mga bagay. Okay? And ang masakit dito, these immoral things are being rewarded. Paano na lang yan? You make compromising choices just to keep your job. Or at least you're tempted to make compromising decisions. To make money, to keep yung visa mo, tsaka yung pamilya mo. You are tempted to not walk in faith, but walk in sight. Matapatawad naman tayo ng Panginoon. O tama po yun. Pero you're disrupting yung fellowship mo sa Panginoon. O maaaring nahihirapan na tayo magbigay o magdagdag sa ating kaloob. Kasi nga, bigla na ho tayo napapaisip na sunod-sunod na yung kailangan namin ng panggastos, and we understand that. Maybe you're afraid to listen sa leading ng Panginoon on how much you need to give. Of course, in Crossroads, wala kami mga envelope na nakasabit ang kalagay yung pangalan mo. Tapos kukolektahin na lang namin, titignan namin pangalan mo, titignan namin kung magkano. Hindi ho namin gagawin yon. God forbid na gawin namin yon. Because we want to exercise faith in giving. When was the last time you exercised faith in giving? Maybe God is leading you to give far and beyond what you're able, and to trust Him on this. Let us live, brothers and sisters, in light of the promises of God, in these light and momentary things of this world. Kasi one day, everything na pinramis sa atin ng Panginoon sa Revelation chapter 21 na binasa ni Brother Jovan kanina will come to fruition. We will see Jesus face to face one day. We will face yung tunay na home natin. Sabi sa Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 to 2, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Mga Christians, life is not easy living in this side of heaven. It's not. You're surrounded with people who are not like you. There is disagreement. There is strife. There is sickness. There's a lack of everything. And we feel na magiging happy lang tayo if we have all of this. You know, the Bible says that's not right. Kasi as Christians, we should be living in light of this promise. This is the promised land. To be with God face to face, enjoying the recreation of everything that He has brought upon us. Friends, kung tayo po ay mamumuhay tayo knowing na may pag-asa ang buhay natin. Kung hindi, alam ko minsan mawawalan tayo ng pag-asa rito sa panahon natin ngayon because of the situations, di ba? But there is what you call a future grace that we need to hold on. A future grace that knowing that all of this will come to an end. A future grace that knowing that God, who is just, will reward. That knowing that God will wipe all tears. And you know that future grace, well meditated sa salita ng Diyos, for us now is sufficient grace in order for us to continue. Friends, let's keep trusting on the promises of God, because trusting God's promises is better than relying on the temporal treasures and situations and circumstances of this world. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your kindness sa amin, knowing that we do not deserve joy, we do not deserve your blessings, we do not deserve nothing from you. Yet you have not treated us as our sins deserve. We are thankful for the truly righteous man, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Thank you, Lord, that because of your mercies, You have called us to repentance. I pray that you would keep that joy in the hearts of my brothers and sisters, including myself, as we strive, to see that day. As for friends who are here who do not have a relationship from you, Father, I pray as they have heard the gospel, as they heard your word, I pray that you would continue to do that calling sa life nila, that you would call them to yourself in a saving way. Even as we end with this song, that it would be a time of worship sa aming hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, friends and brothers and sisters, how we long for that day that we would finally come to the Lord sa home niya. Let's all stand.